mistaken. Now, as a minister,
I used to be a school teacher for about 13 years. I was a school teacher. And what happens as a school teacher, you drive to school every day, you go into the same classroom. I had my own store. I was in the technology end, so we had our own store and everything else. And you don't see anything other than the systems room, the manufacturing room, and my store. And you go up for a bite of late lunch at lunchtime, and you don't want to be called to the principal's office. You might get to see there every now and again. But whenever you become a minister, it's brilliant. You get to go in to see people's houses. My office now is going round people's houses. And nothing delights me more than when somebody says, "Do you want to see in my shed?" I love that. And I remember going to see an old fella out at Carrigduff. And he brought me out and he says, "Do you want to see in my shed?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And he brought me out. And here we had this, like a Model T Ford, sitting in the garage. I've had other people bring me out for different things. One lad asked me for tea one night, and I stupidly said yes. And I didn't realise he lived on his own, and he had a taxiderm stuff. And he took the bag of chips out of the freezer with kestrels and all these other things lying on top of it. He made the chips, and I ate it as he skinned a fox and fed it to the little Jack Russell on the floor. And there was a stag's head on the lino at the other side with the blood coming out of the thing, and I was trying to eat my chips in the middle of it, eating away. Get to see many things. Now, I have something really special that is so special that my wife makes me keep it in the shed. Would you like to see it? Would you like to see it?
Yes.
Good stuff. Good job. My special ornament that's made to stay in the shed. There it is. A snake on a stick. And believe it or not, anybody else got one of these in their house? No, didn't think so. All right, but what I was going to say to you is that all of you have seen this in the last week. All of you have seen this in the last week. Now, how many people have seen an ambulance in the last week? Who hasn't seen an ambulance in a week? Probably is a dear, right and healthy. 2 weeks then. Who's seen an ambulance in the last fortnight? Every ambulance you see has this on the side of the ambulance. You take a look at the picture that goes up the side of it. I'll show you my first aid book. Comes from Liddell's. There it is. First aid. And on the front of it, you've got a snake on a stick. The other thing is, if you go to the Royal Victoria Hospital today, the bit that's built at the new building, what you'll see there is, on the front of it, is a humongous snake. You'll not see it. You'll walk in through those revolving doors that have been broken for, I don't know, some woman drove her car through it about 3 years ago and they never fixed it. But on the front of the Royal Victoria Hospital, on the new bit, you've got the big columns that go up into the pillar, and on that is a 40-foot, 50-foot snake. And it's on ball bearings. If you get it by the tail, you can swing it. And as you swing it, the head goes round at the restaurant upstairs, outside the window. But security will come out after 4 or 5 goes of it, okay? From experience. So make sure you're lighting your feet if you're going to go. And I want to tell you why that is the case. Why is that sign on our hospitals? Why do you find it on medical equipment? Why do you find it on other things? Jesus had been out and he had been teaching his disciples and teaching other people all over the country. This fellow arrived, there had been nothing, no word of God for 400 years. And all of a sudden what you've got is, you've got this man who arrives in the scene who's making blind people see. He's making deaf people hear. He's making people rise from the dead. And the religious people, you think, would love it, wouldn't you? They didn't. They hated it. And it's the same today. Religious people still hate Jesus. I'll explain that in a bit. What happened was, these people came along and they said, "Oh, he's doing all these things, and we know he's from God because he's doing all these things, but we hate him. We hate him because he's ruining religion. We love religion. We love doing things and going to church and reading our Bible and doing all these other things that's getting us to heaven, or they thought was getting them to heaven, and they didn't like it." But anyway, Jesus is out teaching all the people by day, and not all the religious leaders hated Jesus. One guy, I think he might have been Irish. I'm not too sure. His name was Nicodemus, okay? Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night. And the reason he came to see Jesus at night was he was embarrassed. He didn't want his friends to think, "Oh, he's going after God," because all his friends hated Jesus. So at nighttime, you can imagine what it's like sneaking through the streets. There's no street lights. It's really, really dark. And he creeps up to the place where Jesus is, and he sneaks in. And he starts to have this conversation with Jesus, and he says, Jesus, we know that you're from God. You couldn't do the miracles that you're doing if you weren't from God. And Jesus automatically says something really strange. Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you want to get to heaven, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, you know what? I'm a big guy. My mummy's a wee, wee woman. How am I going to be born a second time? How am I going to climb? I don't know if any of you have been pregnant before. I'm talking to the ladies here. Okay? If you've been pregnant, if you're carrying a 13-pound baby, you would be huge. Imagine carrying a 13-stone man. Just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. And he says, listen, I can't get a second time into mummy's tummy. I can't be born again. And Jesus said, don't be so stupid, Nicodemus. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh. He says, people give birth to people. He says, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. He says, God's Holy Spirit gives birth to other people's spirits to make them born again. And Nicodemus says, I don't understand. And Jesus said, listen, you're the teacher, and you don't understand the lesson. You're the teacher, and you don't understand. How are all the students going to find out if the teacher doesn't know the answers? And then Jesus said something really strange to him. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, so that everybody who believes in him will receive eternal life. Now listen, if you can imagine, there's Nicodemus, and he's sitting there and he thought to himself, don't understand anything that's going on, and all of a sudden, snake on a stick. Oh, a light bulb starts to ping on. I understand, snake on a stick. That's something I do know. I do know about the snake on a stick. That story's 1,500 years old. It's about my relatives. I understand that fully. Hey, Rachel, you can howl out a wee sec now. Good stuff. Now, he says, I understand that fully. He says, take me back. He says, 1,500 years. And so he goes back to the time of Moses. And you remember the story of Moses. What happened was the children of Israel were taken captive for 400 years. They were put into captivity. And then all of a sudden, God sent somebody to free them. The name of the person sent to free them was... Good stuff, Hazel. I'm glad you're here. Moses was the name of the fellow sent to free them. He sent 10 plagues. God sent the plagues in the land. The people got out of the land. They walked out through the desert. Then the man changed his mind. The Pharaoh changed his mind. He chased after them and says, listen, I want you to come back or I'm going to kill you all. And they escaped through the Red Sea. God opened up a path for them. They escaped through the Red Sea. The sea closed and Pharaoh's army were drowned. And they were free. And a fortnight's journey, they should have been home and dry. But they wouldn't do what they were told to do. They were always whinging, always gurning, always moaning. They wouldn't do what they were told to do. And God says, right, I tell you what, I'm sick of it. 40 years. Get out in the desert. Dander about for 40 years. Then I'll take you into the promised land when everybody who moaned is dead. Now, fair enough. The people are out. They're about to come into the land. They're about to enter into the new land. And all they have to do is cross this little country called Edom. About 60, 70 miles. Cross this place. When the king of Edom comes out and he says, you're not coming in here. Coming in here, I'll kill you. He said, we're only walking through. We'll not take anything. We'll not touch anything. We're only coming through. You come in here and I'll kill you. And I'm serious. And he brings out all his soldiers with him and they all come out. And they say, well, he is serious. We'll not go in there. So they have to walk hundreds of miles all the way round. And as they're walking round, they do what they always did. They gurned. Hope you don't gurn, do you? Stinking out here in the desert. It's real warm. If we'd have been back in Egypt, it was far better. Way better back in Egypt. We had cucumbers to eat down there and all nice things. There's no water. There's no water. Everybody's thirsty. And then God was really good and gave them food to eat every day, stuff called manna. And they still complain about it. And that manking food that God's given us, nobody likes it anyway. Do you know what? And Moses, we hate you as well. They all started to whinge and started to moan. They had sinned. They did something really, really wrong. And all of a sudden, thousands of snakes arrived. Venomous snakes. What happens when a venomous snake bites you? Poison. What happens if you get poisoned? Well done. You die. You're titty bread. And what happened was all these snakes started to come in, and they started to come in through the camp, and what happened was one little boy was going in, and he went to get his school shoes on, and there's a snake in his shoe, and he got bitten. And he died. His granny was up sort of fixing something out of the cupboard and she went to get something out of the shelf and she was bitten and she died. And all of a sudden there were thousands of people dying. Thousands of people dying. And all the people started to cry out and go, "Oh, there's snakes everywhere. Everybody's dying. It's awful. This never happened before until we started whinging against God and against Moses." Oh, and then they realized, we whinged against God. We sinned against Moses as well. We'll go back to Moses and we'll say to Moses, "Pray for us to take away the snakes." And so they went back to Moses and said, "Moses, we're really sorry. Really sorry. We shouldn't have been whinging like that. We shouldn't have sinned against God and sinned against you. We're really sorry. Will you pray to God to take away the snakes?" And Moses was a humble guy and he was a real nice fella. And he said, "Yes, I tell you what, I'll pray for you, for God to take away the snakes." And what do you think happened? Anybody? So I'm going to suffer a guess. He didn't take away the snakes. You're wrong. You'd think that, wouldn't you? Because that's what they asked for. You thought they would take away the snakes. But no, what happened was, God said, "Listen, get your toolbox out, Moses. I want you to go down and get a load of bronze. I want you to start hammering it. I want you to thump it, and I want you to make it into a big bronze snake. And I want to get a bronze pole and stick it in a pole and stick the pole up really high. Stick the pole up really high." And he says, "Listen, anybody who gets bitten with a snake, all they need to do is crawl out and look at the snake and a stick, and they will be healed." And so that's exactly what he did. He got his toolbox out. He started to make the snakes. He got it up, and he put it on a pole. And anybody who was bitten by a snake crawled out, and as long as they could get out to somewhere where they could see and looked up at the snake, they could be healed. And that's why it's still on the hospital. That's why it's still on the first aid books, because it's a sign of physical healing. It made the people better. It didn't take away the effects of the snake bite. It didn't take away the soreness of it. It took away the death. And you know something? That's exactly what Jesus said. He says, that's for physical healing. But he said to Nicodemus, just the same way as the snake was lifted up in the desert, so the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Listen, that reminds you, Moses, that if you look at the snake, I can physically heal you. But whenever you think back about the cross that Jesus died on, he died there paying the punishment for your sin and paying the punishment for my sin, so that whoever believes in him can have eternal life." Now, what does belief mean? Because the Bible says that the devil believes in Jesus, and he's not getting to heaven. There's very few people who don't believe that Jesus exists. What it actually means is that you put your full trust in him. Let me just say a minute. There's a seat. If I tell you I believe that can hold my weight, as much as my weight is, I think that seat can hold my weight. How can I show you that I believe it will hold my weight? How could I show you? Sit on it. I take myself down. There I am, full weight on it. I put myself on the seat. I fully trust that the seat's going to hold me, and I do it. And that's exactly how someone becomes born again. Not by going to church. Not by reading the Bible, although they're good things. Not by giving money to charity. Not by being good. That's why the religious leaders didn't like Jesus, because he said all of those things don't get you into heaven. He said it is by trusting in Jesus Christ. Believing in him to forgive your sins and trusting in him alone. Not in your own goodness, but in Jesus alone. That's what it means to be born again. When you're trusting in Jesus, and boys and girls, moms and dads, I hope that all of you come to that decision someday, because it's not me that says it. It's Jesus that says, unless a man or a girl or boy or mom or dad is born again, he won't see the kingdom of God. Now, folks, I should have pre-warned you something. There's going to be a quiz. So I hope you were listening. All right? I hope you were listening. We'll pray a wee second and then we'll have our quiz and we'll see how you've been listening. Adults versus children, perhaps. Yeah, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. We can't get to heaven by ourselves, not by being good, not by coming to church, not by all the things that we try, only by trusting in Jesus and by believing in him to forgive our sins. Lord, help us to understand what that means. Nicodemus later did understand. We meet him at the cross taking the body of Jesus. He did become a disciple. He didn't understand then. But Father, we pray that you would give us understanding today of what that means. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.